The Derek Hunter Show. If you missed a day, you're missing a lot. Don't miss anything. Weekdays, noon till 3 on WBAL.
Yeah, I don't get that music, but there you go. I do like this, The Replacements doing 20th Century Boy. I'm Derek Hunter. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about the Supreme Court decision today in the Michigan case, striking down racial preferences in college admissions, or required, saying that states can decide whether or not they want that to be an issue. And joining me now to discuss it is Shelby Emmett. She is a member of the National Advisory Council for Project 21, Black Leadership Network, a Maryland attorney, and a Detroit native. Went to college there at the James Madison School of Government at Michigan State University, James Madison College. I was admitted there, but I went to Wayne State. Welcome to the show, Shelby.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. So you are at Project 21. You guys applaud this decision. Tell me why.
Yes, I mean, because this was the whole point, right? We're supposed to get to a point where we're not looking at people based off things that we have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
Your color, your gender, you know, all these other factors that has nothing to do with your brain, has no correlation whatsoever to education and what you're capable of. So this just takes that movement. Michigan, the state of Michigan, as people decided, you know what, we don't want to look at people this way. We want to look at what we're supposed to look at, merit, credentials, what you're capable of, you know, the things that you're supposed to care about.
The things that are supposed to matter, the content of your character, not the color of your skin, not how much melanin
exactly
you have in it. But in the USA Today article about this case, I'll read you this one paragraph and get your reaction. Opponents of the Michigan law called it a form of political restructuring that stops minorities from seeking admission to a university the same way an athlete or a legacy applicant can. But it doesn't stop anybody from applying to get into these colleges, Shelby. It just says that you're going to be judged based solely on your merit, right?
Well, exactly. This is what I find so interesting about this. Now, I'm a minority woman. I went to school in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met any minority that's gone to higher ed that says, you know what, I'm only here because of the color of my skin. None of us think that. We know we're here because we're smart, we're capable, we work hard, and we're deserving of that spot. So I'm not understanding the issue. So you either believe that these institutions are inherently racist and they're purposely saying we're not going to let you in, or it could be something much deeper, which is, I think, the problem, is that we've used affirmative action as a Band-Aid, as a symptom of the bigger problems, which is our public education system. So if you look at Michigan, for example, now, of course, there are districts that aren't preparing their students. I'm a product of Detroit public schools. My mom pulled me out of those schools and moved me to the suburbs so I could receive a better quality education. The problem wasn't my color. The problem was the school that I was attending. The problem was the bigotry of low expectations.
Exactly.
The problem was, Shelby, you're black, so therefore you need a leg up instead of more tools, more empowerment, more education so you can compete.
It's the low standards and the accepted low standards in places like Detroit. I grew up in Detroit. My niece actually teaches in Detroit. What city did you move to for education?
Moved to Novi. Yeah, big culture shock.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of difference there from Novi and Detroit. But, you know, far too many people accept subpar education. That's really what this should draw attention to, should it not? The fact that there is no school choice, that where you go to school is dependent upon where you were born, where you live, and then maybe if you can afford it, to either homeschool or to go to a private school or move. But it has nothing to do with guaranteeing anybody a good education. It's all just sort of assigned to you by the government.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, someone that deals with policy issues, I'll tell you, you know, a lot of the problem is our federal policy in general is still stuck in this time frame of the post-civil rights 60s, 70s, 80s era.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everything from, you know, economics to social policy, you name it, we're stuck in this bubble. And the problem is, yes, it was needed at a time, but none of this was supposed to be permanent. And now people don't want to let it go. And I think, you know, you do have a lot of people within the civil rights, quote unquote, leadership that I understand their concerns. I'm very grateful for what they've done. The times that they lived in are were more complicated and difficult for them than it is for my generation.
Mm.
And so we're thankful for that. But my generation and today, we need to focus on not past grievances, but how to ensure equal opportunity. And equal opportunity only comes from access to quality education and choice and competition. As someone that used to work in the prosecutor's office, for example, is a victim's advocate in rape cases. First thing that we were taught was, you never tell a rape victim that she's a victim. You give her the opportunity to take the control back, to empower herself. You don't do that by telling a bunch of kids that they need an extra point because of their color of their skin. That doesn't help them in school, and it sure as heck won't help them when they enter the real world and have to get a job and show up to work every day and prove themselves.
Well, the problem is, Shelby Emmett of Project 21, is there's so much money and political power to be gained and garnered and held on to by telling people they're victims. And until that changes, nothing's going to change. This may, you know, open some people's eyes when they see that people are still getting into college based on their character, based on their achievements, based on their qualifications, rather than having the scales tipped.
And I can remember that, you know, as a student going to a suburban school, kids that I grew up with, you know, I was always, you know, very smart and always receiving good grades. And then as soon as we started the application process, you hear one or two people say, oh, did she just get into that school because of her color? Now, that's ridiculous on both sides. And there was people that, you know, went to college and then they weren't prepared and they really had to work hard. And I had friends that really stressed out and would say, why did they accept me? And they felt horrible, and they got through, but it was a huge challenge. And you think about all the debt that they had, and that's not helping anybody. And, it, you know, I don't think it helps a generation that's trying to move away from race, that's then forced into higher education, and that's all we're supposed to look at.
That's, well, again, there's too much political power in subdividing people down to the lowest common denominator based on their skin, their genitals, their heritage, their ethnicity, whatever it is. You can tell somebody that a small group, you're a victim, and they're the ones perpetrating it, and manipulate people on a chessboard. Now, last question for you, Shelby. Is this the first or yet another nail in the coffin of affirmative action, or is this just going to be a fight until the bitter end, do you think?
I think we're starting down the road of fully eliminating it. The Supreme Court didn't officially rule out in the last case that you can't do this, but they did say you have to start looking at other factors and pretty much said, you know, your time's starting to wear a little thin here. Mm-hmm. I think that, of course, you know, we still have things that we need to address, but I've always think that we need to go back to the root of the problem. And the problem is affirmative action in its history was more so to integrate and at the employment level. But at the education level, we really need to focus on the hard stuff, right? And it's a lot easier to say, let's just use affirmative action, we'll do this, instead of addressing the root of a problem, which again goes back to failed schools, i.e. mostly run by liberal cities, failed policies, and low expectations from the family, from the community, to the state, everywhere. But again, just continuously to tell people that you're a victim, and if not for us, you can never make it. I hate to break it to people, but you're not going to make it anyway, if that's your mindset.
Exactly. If you're looking externally for any sort of salvation to help you get your life better, you're not going to find it. You need to find a mirror. Shelby Emmett of Project 21, I appreciate your time and insights on this.
Well, great. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.